This morning, we're going to look at a passage in Luke chapter 8. And kids, pay attention, because I'm going to need your help with an illustration here in a little bit. So I'm going to invite you up, and you're going to help me, because I need you to help me teach the adults a few things about how Jesus wants us to understand this passage. If you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 1 to 18. You can follow along in the Bible app. The passage is in there. It's up on the screen as well. And we're going to go ahead and read this text, and then we'll spend some time talking about it. Verses 1 to 18, starting at verse 1. After this, it says, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what they think they have will be taken from them. So this passage is Jesus speaking. It says he's walking around, and generally in his ministry, it's described what he is doing as proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He's saying, "I bring you good news, great news, that the kingdom of God has arrived. It is near in his midst, in his presence, and God putting on flesh in Jesus Christ." And it says he's going around. It says he has the 12 disciples with him, but then Luke goes out of his way to name these others that are supporting him. He specifically names women that are supporting him and helping to support his ministry financially here. And then he's describing a situation through a parable about what it is like for the various people that he's teaching and proclaiming the good news to receive this word, this good news that he's proclaiming. And so he's encouraging these crowds to take in, to understand, to respond to the message that he's proclaiming and preaching. And so he gives an illustration to help them to understand how it is they ought to receive his message. And he says there's basically 4 different types of soil. As he's scattering the seeds, some of those seeds land on the path. It's the road that people walk along. And when those seeds land on the path, it says they're trampled. People step all over them. And then they just lay on the surface, and so birds come along and they eat up all of that seed. It doesn't amount to anything. Other seed falls on rocky soil. And so that seed might go just below the surface, but because that soil is so rocky, it doesn't come up very high because it's not able to develop deep roots. There's not enough moisture in that rocky soil for those seeds to grow and to be healthy. The third soil, he says, he falls on ground, but it's amongst all sorts of thorns. And so maybe it develops a little more deeply, but it's choked out by all the competing weeds, but it's choked out by all the thorns that are stealing nutrients away from it. And then finally, he says, there's some seed that falls on good soil. And the seeds that fall on that good soil, they grow up in that good soil, and they're able to produce a crop 100 times more plentiful than the seed that was planted. And then he yells out, he says to them, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Now the presumption is everyone in the crowd has ears. Everybody has physical ears, but only some are using those ears to truly understand and to receive the message that Jesus is trying to teach them. Then he goes on, and this is somewhat abnormal in the way that Jesus uses parables. Typically, Jesus teaches in a parable, and then he just leaves it out there. But here, they ask him, what does it mean? What is it that you're trying to tell us? And then Jesus goes step by step and explains exactly what he means by this parable. He points out, though, why it is that he uses parables. And this part can be a little confusing to us. If you look at verse 10, it says that his disciples asked him what the parable meant. And then he says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. So he says he speaks in parables because there's something deeper that he expects people to enter into to truly understand what he's saying. He's not saying that he speaks in parables just to confuse everybody, that he's speaking in parables so that people won't understand. Jesus speaks in parables because he wants and expects something more deeply of folks. We know this in the way that we communicate, that stories require more of us. That if we tell a story, it requires us to enter into the experience of what is being shared, to enter into the details, to enter more deeply into what is being shared so that we truly understand what it is that the person is seeking to tell us. And so Jesus' parables do that too. He doesn't just describe the facts, but he wants his audience to connect with emotions. He wants them to connect with the full life that it requires to enter into the story. And so he uses parables in that way, and I think we'll see more of what that looks like in his description. Jesus showed them how to follow him. He didn't just tell them to follow him. As he describes what is meant by his parable, he says that the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God, and then he describes each of these soils so that they understand how the word of God is to be received into their life. All right, kids, so this is where I need your help. So if you'd come up here, we're going to try to help all of us understand what this passage is. All right, you can't be shy. You need to come up here. If you can walk, you need to come up here. I need your help. We're going to try to describe this story. Come right up here on the platform. I know usually we make you sit down there, but I want you all the way up here. All right? And we're going to talk about this story. Here, you can sit down right here. I'm going to sit up here. You can sit up here with me too. All right. So it's my understanding that down at River Kids a couple weeks ago, you talked about this passage. Does anybody remember that? No, not really. That's all right. Sometimes we forget, too, after a couple weeks. Sometimes we forget after a couple hours, actually. Well, we're going to talk about this passage. And so far, what we said is that Jesus is telling a story about a guy that has a whole bunch of this stuff. Do you know what's inside these little vials? What? Seeds. Have you ever planted seeds anywhere? Yes. Yes? Has anybody ever grown something really cool? Yeah. What'd you grow? A what? A huge flower. Nice. No, you didn't. His brother is contesting the story about the huge flower.
So these tiny little seeds, can you see them in there? There's hundreds of seeds in here. Those tiny little seeds, when planted, can grow up into enormous plants. So what Jesus says in this story is these tiny little seeds are like the Word of God. They're like God's message to us, or God's invitation to us to be children of His, to be a part of His family, to be forgiven in Him. And so He says not that these seeds are just put in really special places, but the story that He tells is that these seeds are scattered everywhere. All right, I need your help. Everybody stand up. Come up here. I'm going to put a little seeds in your hand. Now, don't throw them yet, but you're going to help me out, okay?
Whoa, that's a lot of seeds.
Okay. Everybody needs some seeds. Seeds, seeds. Okay. All right. So did Jesus just put a few of these seeds in a few private special places?
No.
What does it say?
Everywhere.
What did He do with the seeds? He put them everywhere. So guess what you're going to do? You're going to spread these seeds. You got to spread out all over, everywhere your parents are, where all these adults are. Everybody get these seeds? Did you get some? All right. Everybody have lots of tiny seeds? Who needs more?
All right.
Everybody needs more. All right. Let's do this. You good?
Everybody
get some? All right, take your seeds, and I want you to spread out all over the sanctuary. It's going to make the adults feel uncomfortable, but get all around. Remember that Jesus said that He scattered the seeds everywhere, not just special places. So hold on to your seeds, I'm going to tell you. Ready? Go. Just throw them and spread them everywhere. You got to hit everything. Just throw them around. Make sure you get everything.
Even the grown-up's hair.
That's fine. And then come back up here when you spread your seeds everywhere. You want more seeds? All right, there you go.
A lot more. Huh?
A lot more? All right, spread them around. And then come back up here. All right.
I don't want any more.
No one anymore? Yeah. Going for it? All right. Make sure you get them spread. These adults need to understand that Jesus spreads seed everywhere. Okay? You realize your kids are always going to want to come to church now. All right.
I want a lot more.
All right, there you
go. Oh,
yeah. All right, spread them around. We're good. I'm out of seeds. Sorry. Now come up here and sit down when you spread all your seeds. Sit up here with me. All right, nice work. These kids are all available for hire this spring. To help you spread your seeds. Do you? Well, those are for the second service. You can't spread those. All right. So, do you think you got seeds all around?
Yes.
So, Jesus says when He comes, when the Word of God comes, it is available to the whole world, that there is no one that His love is not available for. There is no one that Jesus is not inviting to be a part of His kingdom, the kingdom of God. Those seeds are going everywhere you can imagine. But if you've tried to grow a plant, what sometimes happens to the seeds?
They die.
Sometimes they die.
Or get eaten.
Sometimes they get eaten. So there's three different things that Jesus says. Okay, we're going to look up here. He says that some fell along the path. What do you think He means by a path?
The path that people
walk. Yeah, it's like a road. So some fall on the road, and the road is really, really hard. And so it's difficult for the seed to go all the way through the road, and so it just sits on the surface. It never goes into the soil.
And it never grows.
And never grows, and what happens?
It dies.
Yep, it dies. Something comes along and eats it up. Now, have any of you learned in school about what it takes for a plant to grow? What are some things that it takes for a plant to grow?
Water.
Water. So every plant needs water. Trevor?
Sun.
Space. You guys are rocking out.
Sometimes music.
Sometimes music. I like that. Sun, water, space.
Soil.
Soil.
There's one other that I'm thinking of. You breathe it in all the time.
Air.
Air. Right? And so for a plant to grow up healthy, it needs those five things. And so the soil, we don't really have good soil here. It's sitting on the surface. Sometimes it'll rain, but the water's just going to run off the surface because it's so hard. It's so compacted, there's not a lot of good air. And so this soil is not great. It's not going to help the seed to grow. So what's the next thing he says? He says some of the seed fell on rocky ground. So what's wrong with the rocky ground?
It's too rocky and it doesn't have enough moisture.
Doesn't have enough moisture, right, Mac? Yeah, it's not good soil. It doesn't have good ground. And so when the seeds try to go into rocky ground, there's not enough space, which we said that it needs. There's not enough moisture. Next one. Some seeds fell on the thorny ground. What's wrong with thorny ground?
It's going to break down all the
plants. Yep. Just like when seed goes into some soil with lots of weeds, that weed competes. It competes with the nutrients and the things that that seed needs, and so it competes and it's not able to grow. But then Jesus says some of the seed falls on
good soil.
It has all the things it needs, right. And when it has everything that it needs, it grows up into a giant plant, and that plant then produces the fruit that the seed was destined to produce. And then you get to eat all the fruit. And you know what else is really cool about the fruit? That fruit often, or that vegetable, or whatever you're growing, has other seeds in it, and it multiplies and can produce all sorts of other plants. All right? All right, so why don't you go sit down, and we're going to chat a little more about this. Thank you for your help.
I like to
reclaim
it on
Hannah. You like the nice. All right, so we got some good help from our kids. Now let's think about what this looks like practically for our lives. So Jesus' illustration, I still got a helper. I like it. There is all sorts of things that Jesus is seeking for us to understand in this passage. That all these different soils are representative of your life. Jesus tells us that the seed that is spread, that is his word of God, is perfect. It is destined to produce a fruit, that God has given us everything necessary for the seed in our life to produce a fruit. You think about those attributes that we talked about, what makes a plant grow, and we think about the sun, think about air, we think about water. Those are things that are provided in God's creation to us already. We receive those things as gift. But what Jesus is saying, and he says even the seed is provided to everyone as gift, what he's saying is if our lives, if who we are, if how we're living, are not receptive to those things that God is already providing and is providing in his ministry, then nothing will happen with the seed that has been given to us. Jesus gives us the seed as an invitation to us all the way through the gospel. He says, come follow me, to his early followers. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says to others as he's walking along the path, come and see. Paul says in 1 Timothy that God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge, to come to an experience of the truth. And so his invitation is clear. What varies is the soil of which his invitation is entering. So I want you to think about these common elements that are necessary in order for seed to grow. Water. We said that moisture is necessary for seed to grow. In God's word, we're often told that Jesus himself is living water. He even says, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. It's not just liquid that seed needs. It's water. It's Christ. You can dump Pepsi all day long into your plant, and it's not going to be very effective. It requires water. Elliot, I've told you, our newest son, one of our requirements that the doctors have given us is we just need to help him gain weight. And so to his excitement, the doctor told us that when we give him milk, We should just dump chocolate syrup into it because we need to give him all the cat. And our other girls think this is so unfair, I should tell you. But we're dumping chocolate syrup, strawberry syrup, everything into his milk because the doctor wants us to get as many calories as we can in him. Well, the side effect of feeding him so much milk is now he actually has a little of an iron deficiency. And so now we're giving him an iron supplement. And so what God's word tells us is that there's proper nutrients that we need in order for the seed that he gives us to grow up. And it's even true, and this sounds crazy, it's even true that you can overwater something and it would have a negative effect. God tells us that we need him, we need living water in order for seeds that he's planted in our life to grow. He also tells us that we need air. Now, the fascinating thing about air is it's entirely invisible, right? We know that we need air, but we can't see air. We, as we're breathing, we can experience air. Well, the same thing is the case for seeds that are planted in our life. We need the supernatural. We need an openness to the intangible experience of the Holy Spirit in order for what God has planted in our life to grow up. Other thing that plants need, they need sun. They need the heat, the warmth of the sun. They need the exposure of the sun. And it, again, is the same in our life. The Bible talks about how we need the light of God or the light of Christ to shine into areas of our life that are dark. And sometimes that feels threatening to us. And so we want to hide or we want to bury ourselves away from the light of Christ. But we're told that that light is necessary and we're to receive that light in humility, even though it feels dangerous to us, because when the light of Christ is shined on us, then that is the opportunity to find new life in him, to have our sins exposed and to receive the forgiveness that God offers us. Another thing that the kids mentioned that plants need to grow is space. That if you crowd a whole bunch of plants together, then they're going to compete for nutrients. It's the same for the way that seeds are planted in our life. If we want to be good and healthy soil, then there is no way to develop habits in Christ but to give priority and time and space to the things of God. We must make our spiritual lives and our life with Christ a priority, or as Jesus says, life's worries, riches, and pleasures will choke out God in our life. Then finally, we're told that we are to be good soil. And the language that Jesus uses over and over again, he says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. That's what he's trying to get us to understand in being good soil, that our disposition is one to seek to understand the ways of God. Now, typically, our fleshly disposition is to want everyone else to understand us. And what God is saying is our disposition is to seek to understand God. And if we're hard and we have this difficult exterior, then we're like the path that is rejecting the things of God. It's defending against invasion of moisture. It's defending against invasion of the seed to enter into the soil to grow. And you and I are to be people that are seeking to listen. And so when Jesus describes good soil, it's open. It's receptive to the things that God is trying to do. It seeks and allows the seed to develop deep roots. The habits of spirituality, the habits of being in Christ, take time. Did you know, on average, to develop a habit, you have to repeat it 66 times or over 66 days on average? If you expect a seed to grow in your life, if you expect Christ to take root in your life, you can't just get excited about it in one moment because it's going to dissipate soon. We have to hunker down. We have to expect spirituality and our faith in Christ to be a process. The language that's used in the Bible is perseverance, steadfastness. Because if we don't, if we take it in quickly and we expect things to happen overnight, then all the other competing interests of life will come in quickly and steal them away. Faith must be a priority, and it must be given our time and energy. And then the fascinating thing about seeds and plants is if we are receptive soil to the seed entering into us, and we grow up into a mature plant, then that mature plant actually produces seeds that multiply and produce other plants. That is the vision, the language that God uses over and over in God's Word. That maturity is not measured by doing the right thing all the time. But that the Bible and Jesus measure maturity by whether or not it produces its life into the life of others. We are mature, and you ought to measure your spiritual maturity by your influence on others. Do you have one or two people in your life that you're investing in? Do you have others in your life that you can see how you've influenced, that they have experienced Jesus in your life? In Riverside's vision, in our mission, this is foundationally what it is we're trying to do together. Our vision isn't that you would come and feed from the trough that is faith, but that you would be energized by God's Spirit and that you would be feeding other people. That you would multiply your life into the lives of others. And over the past couple years, we have increasingly become a community where that is the case. Where people aren't just thinking about what they're getting out of our church, but they're looking around with heads that are swiveling about who they can also be investing in. Little small groups of people that are meeting, encouraging one another in faith, experiencing deepening faith in conversation with other people. And I encourage you to measure maturity in your life that way. How can I meet with someone else on a regular basis to look at God's Word? How can I talk about how God is impacting my life and encourage a couple other people to think about how God is encouraging them as well? If you think you're ready for that and you've just wondered, I don't really know where I could begin in that process, I encourage you to talk to Pastor Ralph or to talk to me or talk to anyone on our staff, and we would love to help you find one or two other people on a weekly or every other week where you could get together with them and you could practice following Jesus with others. You could share what you've learned. You could hear what they're learning. And we could refine one another in discipleship and following Jesus. This is the vision that Jesus had for his church. That he would scatter seeds. And some of those seeds would take root in good soil, which is us. And would grow up into abundant plants that would produce other plants that are growing in him. We're investing our lives into others. And Jesus explains that as those plants grow up, they'll be like bright shining lights that ought not to be hidden, that ought not to be covered up, but would brightly shine in a community, and others would see that bright light, and they would see the God that is the source of that light in their lives. He says clearly at the end of the section we just read, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what they think they have will be taken from them. It's using the same analogy that we just used with the soil. He's simply saying that whoever has taken that small, tiny seed and they've allowed it to penetrate their life and to grow up into a mature plant, more will be produced from their life than they ever could have imagined would come from that tiny little seed. But for those that seed just sits on the surface, it doesn't ever take root in their lives, it is true that it'll be taken from them. The birds will come and they'll peck it away and eat it away. And it's a call. It's actually a deeply hopeful message that every single one of us as we sit here, everyone in our community, everyone in our world has this seed offered to them. And it's within our abilities, it's within our control, it's within the invitation of God to receive that gift that he's given us. The abundant life that he offers us. And not just to receive personal forgiveness and transformation in it, but to grow up into mature plants that multiply God's work and the movement of his Spirit in our world. That's the invitation of Jesus. That's the work of our church. And that is the good news that Jesus is proclaiming in the kingdom of God to all that would have ears to hear this message. Church, this is our invitation. It's great joy that is available to all people. But it is also a great responsibility for us to be open, nutrient-rich soil so that we can, through perseverance and steadfastness, be the good that God has invited us to be in Him in the work in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the chance to worship You. We thank You that You give us messages that are deep for us as adults to understand and to apply, but are simple even in their imagery, that no matter what age we are, we can see the seeds of Your creation, the soil that's all around us, and how You have called us to be good soil, to be receptive soil, to be nutrient-rich soil, to be soil that provides space in our clocks and in our time and in our schedules in order to allow that seed to grow into mature plants. May we be those mature plants that in all season are producing a good crop that is good and pleasing to You. In all things we pray in Your name, amen.